Build Air today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, welcome back to the programme. Nursing Homes Ireland has called for urgent action from the government after it emerged that almost 4% of private and voluntary nursing homes have either closed in the past 2 years or are set to close within weeks. There were 456 private and voluntary nursing homes last year, with 14 smaller homes closing over the last 2 years and three more set to close in the coming weeks. CEO of Nursing Homes Ireland, Tadhg Daly, joins us now. Good morning again, Tadhg.
Good morning, Owen. Good to speak with you again.
You too. What's happening here? Because this seems very concerning.
It is, absolutely. And I suppose what the reason for our call again just yesterday was on the back of a statement by HICWA, the independent regulator, on Wednesday, when they outlined that in the last 3 years, since 2018, 29 of the smaller homes have closed. So clearly what we're seeing here is the funding mechanism to support residents who require long-term care. We know it's no longer fit for purpose, but if we don't act soon, what we will see is a further closure of nursing homes, even though we have an ageing population, we have an already crisis in our acute hospitals, so what we need is more nursing homes, not less. And I suppose what HICWA have outlined, we would concur very strongly with their view, is that ultimately this is restricting choice for people. It may mean that people won't have a nursing home in their locality. It may mean that they would be, you know, removed from visitors in their local nursing home, for example. So it is very, very concerning.
Yeah, HICWA stated the loss of the model will have implications for older person care, with nursing homes being removed from particular communities, as you say, resulting in people having to travel further to avail of care and issues arising regards to visitor access, GP and pharmaceutical care. In your statement to us, Tadhg, you said there's an immediate and longer term issue at play here. The current cost environment obviously is intensively acute for nursing homes.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, we've had very, very good engagement with the Minister for all the people in mental health, Mary Butler, TD. We met on the 29th of March. We met again in April. We met again in June and July. So to say we're disappointed at this stage is an understatement. We were, I suppose, given very clear signals that the government understood the issue around the current inflationary pressures. I mean, the inflationary pressures are around all of society. But I think it's important for your listeners to understand that in nursing homes, obviously, you don't have the capability of turning down the heat or closing for a day. It's 24/7 on the one hand. And on the other hand, the fees that have been set for nursing home care were set in a completely different cost environment. So, as I say, we were very encouraged by the mood music, if you like, from government, but they still haven't come with a proposal in terms of how they're going to support the sector. And I suppose the statement by HICWA over the last couple of days really illuminates this issue, that if we don't act, we will see further closures. And in reality, the smaller nursing homes that are closing, they will never reopen their doors. And they're a big loss to many, many communities across Ireland.
14 private and voluntary nursing homes with 411 registered beds. An average of about 30 have closed their doors in the past 2 years. And a further three, as I mentioned from the outset, will be closing their doors in the weeks ahead. What about fees, Tadhg? They're set for nursing home resident care by the National Treatment Purchase Fund on behalf of the state. So when it comes to fees, what's the issue there?
Well, I mean, ultimately the issue here is that the cost of providing, you know, high quality intensive person-centred care in nursing homes is increasing all of the time. I mean, the state understands that itself. I mean, in the public nursing homes, the average weekly fee is of the order of €1,600 per week, and they're expecting the private and voluntary sector to provide it for something of the order of an average of €1,000 per week. So clearly there's an underfunding of the private and voluntary sector, and this is having a huge, huge impact in terms of the closures that we have seen. And you know, God forbid, if we don't address it, then, as I said at the outset, what we're going to see is more closures. So there will be, you know, there is increased funding every year in the annual budget. But what we're looking for from government now, in terms of the inflationary pressures, is a once-off, across-the-board increase in fees to offset. I mean, some of our members are seeing their energy costs rising somewhere between 80 and 150%, for example. Food costs, cleaning costs, and obviously staff costs. Staff costs in nursing home care, you know, is the single biggest cost element. So there are increases in those costs right across the board. And what it's doing at the moment is tipping many of the providers over the edge, and that's why we've seen, as you've outlined, the 14 that have closed in the last 2 years, and indeed just was made aware this morning of a further one. So in the next number of weeks in Westmeath, in Kerry and in Longford, we're going to see three small family-run nursing homes that provide care in that community closing their doors.
Okay, let's pick up on the issue of funding, Ty, because you spoke to this programme about 2 weeks ago and that was an issue at the time. You were hopeful and, I suppose, expectful that the issue of funding would be resolved quickly. Are you still as confident now, despite the lack of engagement from government?
No, unfortunately I'm not, and I think that's the reality. You know, we had, as I say, a very, very positive engagement, and I do wish to acknowledge the work of Minister Butler in advancing it. But, you know, it's all very well advancing it and having talks. What we need is concrete action and concrete proposals. So I am very, very concerned. You know, we'd be, as I say, expecting something pre-budget, but at a minimum now, you know, we need to ensure that the upcoming budget deals specifically with this issue, not in terms of an additional budget and fair deal, but an additional lift to the existing fee rate to deal with the acute pressures that are there at the moment. Okay. I mean, the Minister herself says she's acutely aware of it. We all see it every day in our daily lives. And, you know, we can't ignore it. And if we do ignore it, my fear, and that's why I suppose our call yesterday and today, is that my fear is that we will see further closures of nursing homes across the country if we don't address the critical issue of funding.
Okay, a couple of other issues that I want to touch on, Tig, before we let you go. We'll discuss the number of COVID-19 outbreaks in nursing homes, and obviously we're facing in now to the winter months. But what about the pandemic bonus payment? Any sign of that coming for nursing home workers?
Yeah, I mean, again, very, very frustrating. I mean, you know, that was announced on the 19th of January. It was the right decision and a very welcome decision, and to be fair to government. But to say that we're frustrated at this stage, again, is a complete understatement. We understand that the vast majority of those who work for the HSE have in fact received it, but all of those non-HSE workers, including the private and voluntary nursing home staff, have received no payment to date, number one. But what's more frustrating, I suppose, is we don't know when it's going to be paid or how it's going to be paid. So we would call on government to immediately set a date and say by X date this will be paid, and just get on with it, because, you know, it shouldn't be beyond them. I note in their statement from the department because they say it's complex. I mean, it is not that complex. All of the staff who work in the sector are registered with the Revenue Commissioners, for example, for PAYE and social insurance, so it shouldn't be beyond them to deliver that. And look, you know, The staff who have worked in all of the health service, but particularly in the nursing home sector, you know, we're, as you and your listeners will know, we're very much on the front line. So it's important now that recognition payment is administered as an absolute priority.
Yeah, just finally then, Tig, the number of COVID-19 outbreaks in nursing homes more than doubled last week. That's according to the Health Protection Surveillance Centre. There were 13 outbreaks in the sector, up from 6 the previous week, but well down on the 38 outbreaks recorded in mid-July. And the outbreaks varied in size from 2 to 12 cases. So still, as we know, COVID is still there, significant number of cases in nursing homes. How do you feel going in now to the winter months?
Yeah, well, look, clearly COVID hasn't gone away, as we only too well know. And I suppose, look, we are fearful, to be quite frank about it, for the winter months. But by the same token, you know, what staff, the experience that the staff in the sector have gained over the last while means that we're well prepared. I suppose the announcement by NIAC just in the last, I think, 2 weeks now, that there's a further booster going to be offered to nursing home residents and indeed staff in the sector is a further comfort, because we know that the efficacy of the vaccine does wane. So it's important now that we deliver the additional vaccine, you know, as early as possible, and then to continue to support the sector as we go through winter. And we all have a responsibility, you know, visitors to nursing homes, they need to take their responsibility seriously, because it hasn't gone away. While we're in a much better place, we have to remain very, very vigilant.
Absolutely. On that note, CEO of Nursing Homes Ireland, Tadhg Daly, many thanks for joining us on the programme again this morning, Tadhg, and good morning to you. Let's go to local issues then, and in the south of the county now, the Athy Youth Cafe is relaunching today because it's International Youth Day, and it follows significant renovations funded by Kildare County Council and the local property tax funding. On the line is Laura Whelan. She's Kildare County Council community worker in the Athy Municipal District. Laura, good morning and welcome to Kildare Today.
Good morning, thanks for having me.
No problem. Exciting day down in Athy because the Youth Cafe has been closed for some time, but it'll be a welcome announcement now that it's going to reopen today.
Absolutely, a very exciting day in Athy to celebrate all the young people in the area and to have the Youth Cafe back open and accessible to all the young people in the area. So we're hoping to have a nice open day today from 1 till 3. And everyone is welcome to come down and have a look and see the renovations that have taken place in the building.
Give us some background about the Youth Cafe then, Laura, when it was established and what it does within the community of Athy.
Yeah, so it's in operation for a good number of years. And in sync, the youth service in the area have had the caretaker screen done for a number of years. Unfortunately, during COVID, obviously, due to restrictions, the Youth Cafe wasn't available to be open because it's usually a drop-in kind of service. So when we came back after COVID, we were looking at and decided it needed a little bit of a revamp. So we were very lucky that Kildare County Council and the Local Property Tax Fund funded the revamp. So now what we hope is that this space will be used as much as possible by various different youth groups in the area. So today we'll have lots of different youth services in attendance, and typically what happens is the different youth services will run different activities from the space. So Creative Places of Athy are running a workshop at the moment to revamp the skate park. We had a rap workshop for young women recently. In Sync have a drop-in 2 days a week where different age groups drop in and just hang out. So it's really just a safe youth space in the area. And the hope is that it will continue to grow and we'll have more and more young people in the space going forward.
Yeah, it's managed by In Sync, the local youth service in Athy. It's now open for bookings for youth groups in the area as well. And the relaunch event today will showcase the refurbished space and various youth services available in the area. You cater not only for Athy Town, Laura, but also the surrounding areas too.
Absolutely. Anyone in the Athy Municipal District, any youth groups who would like a space to use or just a different space to run an activity, they're very welcome to join. And all of the activities that happen in there are open to all of the young people in the surrounding areas. So everyone is welcome to join us and come and see the space or make contact in the coming weeks. We're also launching our social media pages today, so Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And it's at Athy Youth Cafe on all of those platform.
Super stuff. And for booking inquiries, you can contact Athy Youth Cafe at insync.ie. That's Athy Youth Cafe at insync.ie. That's the email address. You can get in touch with us if you want more details as well. I think it's a great, great facility for young people in the community, and perhaps we should have more of them around the county as well. The very best of luck with the relaunch after the renovations took place at the Athy Youth Cafe. The launch happens today between 1 o'clock and 3, and that is Laura Whelan, Kildare County Council community worker on the Athy MD.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. All right, just catching up then on some of the messages before we take a piece of music. I know a man that paid over €1 million. To care for his wife, whom he married after being widowed, and only months their marriage, she had a bad stroke and needs nursing home care ever since. €1 million, that's quite a lot of money, and a very, very unfortunate situation. Another text in says, great weather at present, lots of people enjoying the sun, swimming, etc. But why leave so much litter on the banks of rivers near the three counties, Magennie? Towels, clothes, bottles, cans, all left or thrown into the ditch along the riverbank. Totally unnecessary, says this listener. So that's down in the three counties, Magennie, around that area. I also saw pictures on social media around McCreevy's Lock in the Ardclough Salins area where there was a considerable amount of litter. So it goes without saying, if you're going out and enjoying the sun and, you know, maybe doing a bit of swimming or sunbathing, obviously be safe, but leave no trace is the message as well. Just tidy up after you, whatever you bring out with you, make sure to bring it home. home. Now, let's talk about the new 30% tax rate. And there's an article in the Irish Times today and yesterday as well. The introduction of a 30% tax rate for around 1 million middle income earners would be inequitable if it did not happen in tandem with reliefs for people outside the proposed threshold. That's according to Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. He was speaking to reporters in Roscommon Town yesterday. The Fine Gael leader said a tax package with a universal approach should be pursued in next month's budget. He's quoted in the Irish Times as saying, no matter what we do on income tax, I don't think it'll be just for one group. A 30% rate was listed in the tax strategy group papers that were published this week as a possible option available to the government to ease the burden on middle income earners. Mr. Varadkar said he disagreed with opposition calls for any tax breaks to be exclusively for low income earners. Well, there was a Q&A the other day in the Irish Examiner which outlines what the new tax bracket is and what it could mean for you, and Caoimhe and I are going to have a look at it now over the next few moments. Caoimhe, the first question here is, what are the current income tax brackets? Just explain that to us so we get a picture of it.
So there's currently two rates of tax in Ireland, one at 20% and then a higher rate of tax at 40%, and that's for earnings over 36,800 for individuals and 45,800 for married earners in one income households. So this is a two rate structure of income tax, and it's been in place since the early 1990s on.
And what is this third income tax bracket now that's being proposed?
The group has offered two options that the government could opt for if the decision is taken to introduce the third band. So option one would be those earning between 36,800 and 41,800 would be taxed at a lower rate of 30%, so 10% less than they currently are. This option would cost the Exchequer $525 million a year and would see individuals and married couples with one earner take home an extra $500 a year. And then option two, those earning between 36,800 and 46,800 would be taxed at 30%. The second option would cost $945 million for a full year, and individuals and married single income couples would take home an extra €1,000 a year.
Yeah, it also begs the question why a new tax bracket is being proposed now. The Examiner says households right across the country are already feeling the impact of inflation and the rise in the cost of living. The Tax Strategy Group has proposed introducing a third rate of income tax in order to increase the amount an individual can earn before being taxed at the higher rate of 40%. Under this third intermediate rate, middle and high income earners would see a direct increase in their net income. But also, Caoimhe, as I touched on there in the article in the Irish Times, what about lower income earners?
So the lower income earners own households right across the country have already felt the impact of inflation and the rise in the cost of living. And Mr. Donoghue said the fact that we need every employer in the country to update their payrolls and update the level of tax that they are charging their employers would mean that it takes a little longer to implement tax changes, and that it does other policy changes in the budget that they will have. So at the moment, they're not sure how it will impact lower income earners or at the higher end either.
Yeah, it also talks about if there's any negatives for the taxpayer if this proposal is undertaken. Some tax reliefs will be impacted if there is a change in the marginal rate of tax. There are tax reliefs as well, such as for employee pension contributions and health expenses, relief for nursing home charges, which are granted at a taxpayer's marginal rate of tax. And also the question there at the end of the article, how has the government responded to the proposal? The introduction of a 30% tax band would involve a very significant change to the current structure of the income tax system. It will require revenue huge changes to revenue systems as well as payroll providers. And Caoimhe, as you said, Minister for Finance Pascal Donoghue has said that it is more difficult to make changes in relation to taxation any earlier than normal due to the amount of payroll systems that would need to change. change. So that is the situation when it comes to the new tax band, or the proposed new tax bracket, 30%, and what it could mean for you. A couple more articles to catch up on them, and news that is making the headlines here. Anne Hesh is not expected to survive a crash, according to her family, a severe crash that has left her in a coma. The US actress suffered severe anoxic brain injury, which remains in a coma in critical conditions due to the incident, which took place last Friday. The 53-year-old was taken to hospital following the crash in the Mar Vista area of Los Angeles. The crash resulted in structural compromise and heavy fire at the scene, according to the LA Fire Department. The ensuing blaze took 59 firefighters 65 minutes to contain and fully extinguish, according to the department. In a statement, Hesh's family thanked the dedicated staff and wonderful nurses at the Grossman Burn Center at West Hills Hospital who have taken care of her. There's a quote here, according to a statement: unfortunately, due to her accident, Anne Hesh suffered a severe anoxic brain injury and remains in a coma in critical condition. She is not expected to survive. It has long been her choice to donate her organs, and she is being kept on life support to determine if any are viable. So that is the latest on that terrible crash involving Anne Hesh. Right, Deirdre Bigley is Heads Up Coordinator with the County Kildare Leader Partnership, and she is on the line. Deirdre, good morning and welcome to the programme again.
Good morning, and on a beautiful sunny morning it is here too.
Absolutely, it's gorgeous around the county, and long may it continue, although I think it might be gone by Sunday or Monday, but we won't talk about that anyway.
No, we won't.
Listen, the last time we spoke to you, you had discussed and, you know, I suppose highlighted the fact that your new centre was opening in Kildare Town for the men's programme. You were taking applications for that in September. The good news now, though, is that there's a women's programme, a pilot programme, being launched in Newbridge. So tell us first of all what Heads Up is and what you do.
I suppose Heads Up is a training and educational programme that works with people who are struggling with, I suppose, mental distress or have lost their mojo, who might be just struggling with their mood, negative thinking, people who are feeling isolated and want to reconnect with themselves and society around them, particularly after, I suppose, the last couple of years in COVID. People began to, you know, I suppose, are struggling with maybe coming back into society and connecting with society. And then just, I suppose, for people who want to explore ways to support themselves and their well-being.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned there, there is now this women's programme, which has been in the works for quite some time. And I'm sure you're delighted now to finally have it in the works and people can start applying now for it.
Yeah, we're really, really excited. I suppose we've been working in the county since 2015 with men aged 18 and over. And I suppose we're a team predominantly made up of women. And I suppose we were thinking, you know, I suppose mental health distress is not something that's just a gender issue. And we've decided to start or to create a pilot program for women. So this one that's coming up in October that we're going to be running in the Family Resource Centre in Dara Park in Newbridge is a first for us. So we're very excited. We don't think it's going to be, you know, hugely different in terms of content to what we do with the men. As I say, it's Heads Up is a well-tried and tested, I suppose, evidence-based program. But I suppose with women, we feel that we may have to tweak our methodology maybe explore the topics that we would cover with men coming at it from a different perspective. But yeah, we're very excited about it.
Yeah, and I saw something on social media there the other day with the question, who is the programme for? And there were four categories, really: women who are struggling with their mood and negative thinking, women who are feeling isolated, alone and are not sure how to reconnect, women who want to explore ways to support themselves and their well-being, and of course it's for women who are over the age of 18. What, in terms of content then, Deirdre, what are some of the things that people can expect if they take up this programme? It's a 4-week programme, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a 4-week taster program. So it's going to be run every Tuesday in October from 10 until 12:30. So kind of, we'll be looking at things like, I suppose, exploring and identifying where you might be on the mental health continuum. We'll be looking at wellness tools and self-care. So I suppose wellness tools are those things that put a smile on your face, or the things that we turn to help lift our mood when we find it dipping. We'll be looking at challenging unhelpful thinking, looking at some self-esteem and ways to maybe raise your own self-esteem. We'll be looking at, I suppose, communication and relationships. We held a meeting with some women who had been approaching us and wondering about a Heads Up program for women, and we had, I suppose, what we call a co-production meeting, and really that is just a group of us sitting around the table saying, okay, how or what do we need specifically for women? And the service users or women who have experience of mental health issues said to us that sometimes relationships and communicating in those relationships can be a cause of distress to them, and so therefore we're going to be spending a little bit of time looking at that, and then just looking at some goal setting and an action plan around setting goals. So as I say, the taster or the pilot program is, it's like dipping your toe in, and our plan is when the pilot is over, we will sit as a team, I suppose, review what went well, maybe what didn't go as well, or what didn't go as we expected, and then the plan would be that we would roll out a 12-week full programme in 2023.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. And people can get in touch then for the women's programme, which is taking place in October in Newbridge, and get in touch with yourselves. And also there's the men's programme then, which is in September in Kildare Town. How do people get in touch with you and, I suppose, register their interest for these?
We actually we're thrilled. We have quite a large number of women already expressing interest, and indeed for the Kildare programme for men. But all they can ring me on 085 1068 305. That's 085 1068 305. They can contact County Kildare Leader Partnership at the new offices there in Kildare Town, or they can email me. I'm Deirdre at County Kildare, that's C-O-U-N-T-Y Kildare LP.ie.
Great stuff. And if anyone missed any of those contact details, get in touch with us here at KFM and we can pass them on to you. And of course, it'll be done so in complete confidentiality. That is Deirdre Bigley, Heads Up Coordinator at the County Kildare Leader Partnership. Deirdre, thanks for joining us and good morning.